You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A not so long, long time ago, in a country all around us, Airtel and Vodafone were almost undisputed leaders of the telecom market. Enter a juggernaut called Reliance Jio, and with it, tremors in the apple cart. Vodafone and Idea are about to form an alliance. Jio continues to roll on, grabbing with it Savan and as many ears and eyeballs as it can along the way in its aggressive bid to close the gap with its rivals. And Airtel remains the market leader for now, and according to an Economic Times survey, still the most admired company in India in the telecom space. Airtel is now also training its eyes on a territory that has suddenly become profitable: Africa. With the players placed the way they are and the race for telecom supremacy ever intensifying, we start a new series a day after Star Wars Day, May the 4th. This is Telecom Wars, Episode 1, A New Hope for Airtel in Africa. My name is Rakesh, this is Money Control, and buckle up as we take a hyperdrive down to the front lines of the telecom wars.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Telecom Wars, Episode 1, A New Hope for Airtel in Africa, a Money Control exclusive.
Reports emerged recently that Bharti Airtel plans to raise as much as $1.5 billion by diluting about 25% of its stake when it lists the holding company for its Africa operations, Bharti Airtel International Netherlands BV, or BAIN BV, in early 2019 on the London Stock Exchange. At its upper end, it would also mean that the holding company will be valued at about $6 billion. The money obtained through the dilution will help bolster Airtel's efforts to stay competitive in the Indian market, where Bharti has just declared its first ever quarterly loss. Net loss before exceptional items for the India business in the 3 months ended March 31st, 2018, stood at 652.3 crores, compared with a net profit of 770.8 crores a year ago, the Sunil Mittal-led telecom company said in a statement on Tuesday. This is in contrast with the profits it is seeing in Africa now. Just this quarter alone, the Africa operations posted a profit of 698.7 crores, sparing the company some blushes. Ironically enough, when Airtel started its Africa operations, it was widely considered a poor move. In response to a question on the one business decision that he regrets the most, Sunil Mittal himself had said Africa may have been a poor decision. He went on to say, "We all must have made lots of mistakes, lots of decisions. When I look back, I wish they were better thought through. If you pin me down to one, I would say in 2010, our decision to go to Africa was a bit rushed, and that has taken about 6, 7, 8 years and a lot of resources and my personal time to fix that." He went on to say, "Look how things have changed in 2018. Like they say on Arrested Development, there's always money in the banana stand, and well, as it turns out, in Africa." BAIN BV, the Netherlands-based wholly-owned unit of Bharti Airtel, is the holding company of the telecom operations in 14 African markets: Nigeria, Chad, Congo-Brazzaville, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Gabon, Madagascar, Niger, Kenya, Malawi, Seychelles, Tanzania, Uganda, Zambia, and Rwanda. Airtel entered the African market in 2010 with the $10.7 billion acquisition of Zain Telecom. Africa operations this March have completed a year of being profitable for Airtel, meaning for about 7 years, they were not. Net profit from this year from Africa operations amounted to 1,827 crores on revenue of 20,156 crores, marking a 180 from previous years when losses mounted every quarter, dragging down consolidated numbers and along the way, many doubts expressed on Bharti's strategy of expansion into Africa. The Africa gamble for now seems to have paid off, especially in comparison with what we got to see in Airtel's latest earnings here in India. The India business posted losses, but the company overall just about eked out a net profit of 83 crore rupees on a consolidated basis. Also, its lowest in nearly 1.5 decades. In the just ended quarter, a 78% year-on-year drop. The miss from plunging into overall losses could well be thanks to its Africa operations. Thanks to Africa Ops, some predictions were proven wrong. Brokerage firms had expected that the company would post a net loss in what would have been its very first time in 15 years. An Economic Times report dated the 4th of April reported that the Bank of America Merrill Lynch had estimated that the net loss would be 58.5 crores, while Kotak Securities pegged it as high as 377 crores. Enter Africa to save the day. Wakanda forever. What Africa brings to the Bharti table now? Bharti Airtel's consolidated revenue dropped 10.5% year-on-year to 19,634 crores, primarily as data and voice tariffs in India fell further. Revenue from India operations, which make up about 77% of the total, declined 13% year-on-year to 14,795 crores, dragged by lower revenue from mobile services, which fell 20% on year. For the full financial year 2017-2018, Airtel's consolidated net profit declined 71% on year to 1,099 crores and consolidated revenue fell over 12% to 83,688 crore rupees. Africa revenues account for about 25.13% of Airtel's consolidated revenues, and the company attributed that to strong data growth and Airtel Money transactions. That was all number-heavy stats, but the subtext is that Airtel is reading the writing on the wall here in India, and it reads JIO. The tariff wars are showing no signs of ceasefire, with reports of Jio planning to further slash prices. Africa operations, on the other hand, projected to be healthy in the near future, have therefore assumed an unexpectedly important role in Airtel's coffers now. The listing on the London Stock Exchange could also help Bharti Airtel deleverage its balance sheet, analysts have observed. Useful considering Airtel's overall debt was 95,000 crore rupees at the end of March. A November 2017 report from investment bank company CLSA says that for the next 3 years, Africa revenues will grow by 3% CAGR, that is compound annual growth rate, led by lower access charges, which is a fee paid by a subscriber to a carrier to get on their network, and tight cost controls. Africa's balance sheet was helped by Airtel selling assets worth $3.25 billion over the past 3 years. Airtel sold 10,540 towers and sold its Burkina Faso and Sierra Leone operations. Airtel's strategy in Africa. Airtel's strategy in Africa has been one of establishing presence, paved by the acquisition of Zain, and also making local friends. Over the past years, it has been trying to capture the African market through local deals. It has made 3 small-ticket acquisitions in Uganda, Congo Brazzaville, and Kenya. LiveMint reported in October that Airtel signed a deal with Millicom, which operates the brand Tigo, to combine their operations in Ghana. After this deal in December, Airtel's subsidiary in Rwanda announced the acquisition of Tigo Rwanda Limited, making Airtel the second largest telecom firm in that country. Airtel has taken proactive steps in Africa to consolidate and realign the market structure in the last few remaining countries where its operations are lagging on account of lower market share and presence of too many operators. Bharti Airtel chairman Sunil Mittal had said in a statement on the 19th of December. He also went on to add, "We are committed to the long-term viability of our operations in Kenya and Tanzania to ensure that in 2018, all of our operations in Africa start contributing positive margins and cash flows towards a healthy and profitable Airtel Africa," he had said back in December. Why is Airtel struggling at the telecom wars in India? With our focus now out of Africa, let's return to the main premise itself: telecom wars. According to data from TRAI, that is the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, as of the 31st of December 2017, Airtel had 24.85% of subscriber market share, Vodafone had 18.2%, Idea Cellular 16.83%, and Reliance Jio 13.71%. As far as revenue market share is concerned, as of the 31st of December 2017, Airtel had 27.96% of revenue market share, followed by Vodafone's 20.65%, Reliance's 19.74%, and Idea Cellular's 17.33%. Data compiled by Bloomberg Quint has gone on to show. With the rise of Jio, most older telecom companies are struggling. Today on this podcast, the focus is on Airtel and why Airtel is struggling. Simply put, 3 reasons. A. Continued pricing aggression from Jio. B. Regulatory hurdles, including cut in international termination rates and interconnection usage charges. And C. Subscriber preference for lower-priced bundle packs than higher ones. Let's tackle each of these one at a time. Number 1. Relentless pricing aggression from Jio. To put it simply and bluntly, the entry of Reliance Jio has created mayhem, not an exaggeration. If Reliance Jio stays on the aggressive course in 2018, and it certainly has the deep pockets to do so, it'll strain the financials of all players, including Jio, even more. All indications seem to point that the course for Jio this year also reads aggressive. Since September 2016, Reliance Jio Infocomm Limited has been laying the markers for the telecom sector. In 2016, Jio disrupted the sector by launching its telecom operations and offering free trial services on scale. In 2017, it did begin to reorient itself to commercial market dynamics, but still held on to Oprah-style freebies and price offers. In 2018 too, Reliance Jio is expected to set the markers with its decision on where it sets the balance for itself, and by extension, others, between a relentless breadcrumb bait chase for subscribers and the practical pursuit of profitability, as LiveMint went on to call it. Latest media reports seem to suggest that 2018 will see no respite for Jio's competition, as Mukesh Ambani seems determined to not relax his growing grip on the market and may continue to offer more discount on tariffs. Analysts have said that the price wars would continue as Jio is focused on retaining and increasing its almost 187 million strong subscriber base. The price war will continue as Reliance Industries is very firm about the strategy going forward on Jio, which continues to be focused on customer acquisition and is open to further tariff cuts based on actions of incumbents. BNP Paribas said in a note to clients. Analysts at JP Morgan echoed the view, saying, and I quote, "Jio clearly wants to offer the most competitive tariffs and gain a higher subscriber share, and its core business cash flows are strong enough to support this strategy, especially as core project spending drops," unquote. Jio's future pricing strategy, according to the brokerage, could induce its financially stressed rivals to increase tariffs, even though this could, quote-unquote, effectively lead to a loss of market share. The Economic Times went on to say in a report on the 1st of May 2018, what could be particularly worrisome for the telecom companies is that Jio believes it can be profitable in the current tariff environment and continue to invest, JP Morgan went on to say. Last week, Jio Infocomm outclassed listed operators Airtel and Idea, reporting a 1.2% sequential growth in net profit to 510 crores in the fourth quarter of 2017-2018, with higher average revenue per user, that is ARPU, and voice and data usage. Bank of America Merrill Lynch said the telecom industry is unlikely to witness any tariff hike for the next 3 to 6 months at least, as it expects both Jio and Airtel to focus on poaching customers of the emerging Idea-Vodafone combined entity, which is widely expected to shed some revenue market share post-merger. The US brokerage firm said in a note, and I quote, "Jio intends to keep its tariffs at a discount to peers, and we don't see the company in a rush to raise ARPU as its primary focus remains on subscriber additions," unquote. For the country's older telecom companies, that is Airtel and Vodafone, Jio's entry in September 2016 with its game-altering tariffs compelled them to respond, putting further pressure on their revenue and profit. This competition triggered consolidation in the sector. In this regard, brokerage firm Nomura International expects the pace of Jio's subscriber additions to remain robust, given that nearly 3 of every 4 new incremental 4G LTE phone buyers opt for Jio's service, and the pace of Jio phone additions remains strong as well. Analysts have observed that Jio has indicated it will step up its activities around the fiber broadband and enterprise business fronts, with phased commercial rollouts likely soon. Jio believes in the currently underserviced enterprise market, it could outplay rivals given its strong data network, Bank of America Merrill Lynch went on to say. With Jio users spending close to an hour a day on average on their phones, the 4G telco, that is Reliance, sees this as an emerging ad monetization opportunity, according to the US brokerage firm. Reliance Jio launched free services in September 2016 and commercial services in April 2017. When it launched free services, everyone's subscriber base was rising. Between March 2016 and September 2017, Airtel, Vodafone and Idea added 31, 9 and 15 million subscribers each in that period. And in that period, which is since the time of its launch to September 2017, Jio had accrued 190 million subscribers. Since most data-enabled phones were dual SIM phones, subscribers who added Reliance Jio didn't have to make a choice when its services were free. They had to once Reliance Jio started charging for services, and subscriber growth of other operators started tapering since. As we've already discussed, according to TRAI's data published in February 2018, Bharti Airtel still leads the telecom market with about 24.85% share as of December end. According to the data, Jio's market share is at 13.71%, a few points lower than Vodafone's and Idea Cellular's market shares of 18.2% and 16.83%. But Jio has recorded the highest growth rate of wireless subscribers, which is 5.27% among all telecom companies in the month of December. Bloomberg reported last April that both Airtel and Jio may raise as much as 36,500 crores selling bonds as the telecom titans build a war chest in what investors hope will be the home stretch in India's bruising tariff war. The vast amount of 36,500 crore rupees, which is about 78% of the total outstanding bonds of India's top four telecom firms, signals that Airtel and Jio are getting prepared to roll out next-generation services and manage about 32,000 crore rupees of debt due in the next 5 years. Raj Kothari, the head of trading at J Capital Limited in London, believes an end to tariff wars may be in sight after all. He goes on to say, after 4 years of intense price pain, the India telecom battle could be in its last stretch. It is down to the big boys, and they are piling up funds for just that. He was quoted as saying by Bloomberg. Bharti Airtel has said that the money would be used for treasury activities, including refinancing and for paying off spectrum dues. Jio, meanwhile, hasn't specified details of end use, although data compiled by Bloomberg show that it has significant repayments due in the next few years. And that constitutes number one reason for why Airtel might be struggling. Relentless aggression by Jio and relentless predatory pricing by Reliance, according to Airtel and Vodafone. Number two, regulatory hurdles, including cuts in international termination rates and interconnection usage charges. We start with ITR, that is, international termination rates. While the onset of Jio has certainly been the biggest disruptor in Airtel's course, adding to its woes are also the many regulatory hurdles placed by the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. In January 2018, ITR, or International Termination Rates, were cut by almost half, from 53 paise a minute to 30 paise per minute by TRAI, effective 1st of February 2018. It is estimated that it would result in the loss of about 20 billion rupees or 2,000 crore rupees in revenue for telecom companies. So what is ITR? ITR is what Indian operators receive for termination of international incoming calls on their networks. And the bulk of these calls, as of now, are received by the trio of Airtel, Vodafone, Idea, which naturally suffered a huge setback. But the TRAI decided it was necessary to keep a check on the grey market, which they claimed posed a serious threat to the country. As per TRAI, quoting industry estimates, about 20% of international long-distance calls, that is ILDs, terminate in India through grey route. The entry of OTT players like WhatsApp, Skype, FaceTime, etc. has enabled calls to travel over the internet and therefore termination charges are not applicable there and not paid. The telecom regulator further said that the players involved in grey market thrive on the significant arbitrage opportunity available as domestic termination rates are 6 paise per minute and they route international calls as domestic calls. Let's understand that a little bit better. The Cellular Operators Association of India, that is COAI, had claimed that there are huge disparities in the number of international calls that originate versus terminate in India. About 4.5 billion calls originate from India to overseas markets, whereas as many as 88 billion calls come from abroad to India. And what do the foreign telecom companies charge for calls that terminate there from abroad? Let's take a look. The US charges 67 paise a minute, the UK 13.36 rupees a minute, and Germany 10.69 rupees. All well above the Indian charges of the earlier 53 paise a minute India charged to terminate calls here from overseas, and certainly way above the 30 paise, which is the revised rate. Local carriers have naturally urged for a very long time that these rates be raised to as much as 3.5 rupees. Jio, meanwhile, had urged that ITRs be brought further down to 6 paise a minute, which is what the domestic interconnected user charge is. But the regulator had argued that ITR, unlike IUCs, is not a bilateral issue, but a multilateral one involving an Indian operator, telecom companies based in several countries, and other players in between also, such as international long-distance operators and national long-distance operators. So the slashing of ITR from 53 paise to 30 paise a minute by the TRAI has certainly contributed to Airtel's woes. Another regulatory hurdle also comes from the ITR. This time, it is the IUC, or the Interconnection Usage Charge. If ITR was the international story, the domestic story is the IUC. IUC is a fee that a telecom company pays to another when a call from the former's network, lands on the latter's. So it's what Jio and Airtel and Vodafone have to pay each other depending on what calls they receive from each other. Charges are levied on a per minute basis. The IUC too was reduced from 14 paise a minute to 6 paise a minute in October. A Business Standard report estimated that Airtel would make about 168 crore rupees per month under the 14 paise regime. After it was changed to 6 paise, Airtel would make around 96 crores a month, and in simple maths, that translates to a loss of about 1,000 crore rupees for Airtel alone, based on the slashing of the IUC charges. According to some reports on the Economic Times, the number was as high as 2,000 crore rupees. According to sector experts, as reported on the Hindu Business Line, Reliance Jio is likely to gain 3,840 crore rupees per annum with the IUC rate announced recently based on the current subscriber base and traffic. But in an age where everybody is using OTT players like WhatsApp to make calls, why are these charges even relevant? You may ask. Relevant because it is a misconception that data plans are the majority routes for making calls. Take for example, Airtel. Even though there has been an explosion in data usage in recent years, Airtel has still relied on revenue from its call operations. Mobile data users account for only about 29% of its India subscriber base. Here, while we're talking about IUC, we also have to tackle a problem called 2G. As reported on The Ken by Shashidhar KJ, Gopal Vittal, the MD and CEO of Airtel India, said that Airtel is getting a disproportionate number of upgrades from 2G, which is used for voice calls, to 4G, which is used for data. In devices with multiple SIMs, he went on to say, and I quote, most devices are configured in such a way that you have a primary slot, which is a 4G or a 3G SIM slot, that is the data slot, and a second slot is a 2G slot. And that is where we need to step up again to make sure that we get a fair share, unquote. Compare this with Jio. Due to its pan-India broadband wireless access, that is BWA network, it can roll out 4G services in every circle. Whereas a company like Airtel has to spend extra and even offer SOPs to help its customers move from 2G to 4G. Airtel has already spent 23.5 thousand crore rupees on capex in financial year 2017-2018, and that number is only bound to increase in the next fiscal. More on that later. Airtel, on the 7th of September 2017, wrote to the TRAI saying Reliance Jio is continuously trying to distort facts at various platforms to show other operators in bad light and create policy bias in its favour. In the letter, Airtel had gone on to say that it had not made any gain on account of IUC, as alleged by Reliance Jio, and has instead incurred losses of 6,800 crore rupees in the last 5 years. In response, the Mukesh Ambani-promoted Reliance had written to TRAI saying Airtel is creating, quote-unquote, a smokescreen to hide its ill-gotten profits and to support its false pretense of loss under the existing IUC regime. Reliance Jio said in July last year that India's top three telecom firms earned as much as 1.04 trillion rupees in the past 5 years by not implementing a 2011 regulatory roadmap to cut IUC to zero. Many letters were exchanged, many barbs were traded. These were telecom wars writ large. But the summary of this second point about why Airtel might be suffering is the many regulatory hurdles placed along its way by the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. Number 3. Subscriber preference for lower-priced bundle packs than higher ones. This kind of relates to what we've already spoken about earlier. Predatory pricing. It's a truth universally acknowledged that people prefer cheaper offerings than pricier ones for a similar product on offer. TRAI's tariff order on the 16th of February changed the definition of SMP, that is, significant market power, to identify predatory pricing, a strategy aimed at driving competitors out of the market or creating entry barriers for potential new competitors. The new SMP gave pricing flexibility only to operators with less than 30% of the market's subscribers or revenue and dropped previous parameters such as volume of traffic, including data and switching capacity. So, well, Jio, at that time, benefited, considering its market share is less than 30%. Bharti Airtel and Idea moved the tribunal against the TRAI tariff order on the 4th of March. The tribunal's new order, issued in April, now allows the top three telecom companies to offer customized discounts to help retain individual customers. They would also be able to offer competitive tariffs without waiting for Jio, the operator with the lowest SMP, to come out with a plan and then respond with a matching or better tariff. Vodafone India had earlier moved the Madras High Court and gotten interim relief against the reporting requirements of tariff offers. ET Telecom went on to report that TRAI's order barring telecom companies from offering pricing packages to select individuals to retain them without making them available to their other customers meant they couldn't fight against any poaching moves. Airtel and Idea told the tribunal that TRAI's order seriously hampered their right to do business. It was impractical and impacted their ability to retain and acquire customers. They said the practice of giving individual or segmented discounts existed in all industries, and the concept was changed by TRAI without due consideration to practicality. They said that due to the order, every discount would have to be treated as a fresh tariff plan requiring reporting, which would inevitably cross the permitted limit of 25 plans and hence invite penalties of as much as 50 lakh rupees. That was changed in the new order. In summary, those are some of the reasons why Airtel, alongside Vodafone and Idea, is having a rough go in the telecom wars. There's a split in the COAI, that is the Cellular Operators Association of India, between the old guard and the new entrant that has entered all guns blazing. Players, small and not small, have had to wake up, shake up, or break up, or in some cases, make up, like with the Vodafone and Idea merger. M&As are old hat in the industry, but recent events like the takeover of Telenor India and Tata Teleservices by Airtel, merger of Vodafone and Idea, closure of Aircel, all point to an intensification and consolidation process in the face of the entry of a formidable rival in the form of Jio. Without bold moves from the old guard, the battle would suffer. I do not know which operator is which house in the game of telecom thrones, but without strategic alliances and clever implementation of strategy, there is bound to be losses more than any house is willing to suffer. In these telecom wars, for smaller companies, it is either kiss the ring of the bigger house or decimate. Case in point, the house of Aircel. C.P. Chandrasekhar, in a piece he wrote for Frontline, argues, and I quote him, "Reliance Jio, on the other hand, has had many advantages. A promoter with deep pockets, and some have even argued an ability to influence policy, a team driven by an instinct to go for the kill, the benefits of late entry that have allowed it to adjust strategy to the fact that technological changes were rendering pure voice channels irrelevant and making data flow supreme, and a market for data that was in its growth phase." The Aircel case only highlights the fundamental problem afflicting the industry post-Jio's entry, involving large debt and spectrum charge dues combined with falling revenues because of the price competition unleashed by the entrant. Reliance not only offered voice calls free, but opted for extremely low pricing of data traffic. In the event, data use is priced at around $3.50 per gigabyte in India, compared with around $10 in the United States. The result is that though the number of users has risen over time, the average revenue per user has fallen sharply, leading to losses in firms burdened with debt, he went on to observe.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Telecom Wars, Episode 1, A New Hope for Airtel in Africa, a Money Control exclusive.
The merger of Vodafone and Idea do not guarantee a three-way division of the market. What we have to bear in mind also is the large debts that these operators have. Airtel's consolidated debt exceeded 90,000 crore rupees as of September last year, and the combined Vodafone-Idea entity's debt would be in excess of 100,000 crore rupees. The combined entity of Vodafone-Idea would also topple Airtel from the top spot, but Reliance Jio is not merely hoping to increase its market share, it is aiming to become the leader. The battle for the top spot is unlikely to go uncontested. So these other entities will have to give it back as much as they can. And in the process of these price wars, no one really emerges unscathed. In some ways, yes, there are winners and losers in this war. But the price one might have to pay for victory might just be too high. Some have argued that a victory in the telecom wars can only be considered a Pyrrhic victory. The perceived advantage of Reliance Jio. The COAI has been blunt in its appraisal of the situation, saying that TRAI's orders seem to be strengthening the ambitions of one particular operator with deep pockets and monopolistic designs at the expense of other operators, unquote. Jio spared no blushes in its response. It went on to say, Reliance Jio condemns and highly regrets COAI's reckless, willful and flagrant act of making slanderous and libelous accusations patently against Reliance Jio in the press release, which are ex facie defamatory and veiled under the garb of criticizing the orders of the sectoral regulator. Unquote. It has sought a public apology from COAI and asked it to immediately stop making false and defamatory statements about Reliance Jio. So in this regard, what are the perceived advantages that Jio has? Have tri-regulations benefited Jio or not? What are the changes that other telecom companies have had to make in order to stay competitive? What has happened to those companies that have not managed to stay afloat? What has happened to their subscribers? What about data share and how does Jio fare there? In its mode to aggressively expand and acquire subscribers, does Jio have a plan for the long game? In the coming weeks, that will be our focus. What is the disruption in the galaxy? And how is each side faring? We have not even touched upon broadband and other services in detail that these telecom operators also provide. These are all questions we have to take time to answer, which is why Telecom Wars is a series, and this merely its first episode. On this first episode, we have largely focused on Airtel. We have tried to understand what the problems it might be facing are, so let's conclude by taking a quick look at where Airtel can turn to for some possible solutions. What next for Airtel? Number 1. Capital expansion. Spend more to stay in the game. Airtel's CapEx is not going to come down anytime soon. Only last quarter, Airtel's management said that CapEx was required to provide, quote-unquote, the best and widest broadband data coverage, which will help protect its market share. Airtel's group CFO, Nilanjan Roy, said that the company's first priority is to retain high ARPU customers. That's easier said than done, because consider this, India's ARPU has fallen 26.6% year-on-year to 116 rupees. Bharti Airtel will spend as much as 25,000 crore rupees on CapEx in the next financial year, with majority of the spend to be utilized in India, while the company is in the midst of launching VoLTE services, that is, Voice Over Long-Term Evolution Services, as well as on expanding its network. Nilanjan Roy further went on to say, and I quote, "We remain committed to CapEx plans considering the explosion in data traffic in India. We've expediently spent 22,500 crore rupees over the last three quarters to accelerate our 4G rollout in terms of coverage and also build additional capacity in existing geographies along with fiber connectivity and backhaul." Unquote. So far, Bharti's Volt services are up and running in about 7 circles and the company expects to take this pan-India. Airtel's 4G Volt services in beta are also available in West Bengal, Odisha, Assam, Kerala, Bihar, Punjab and Andhra Pradesh. In April this year, they rolled it out in Delhi and Rajasthan as well. Pan-India, as of today, has not yet happened. Roy also went on to say, and I quote him, "More than 80 popular smartphones support Bharti's Volt services. We've deployed over 88,000 mobile broadband base stations over the last 12 months, the highest by a telecom operator in India in a single year." Number 2. Tower business. Capital expansion leaves little wiggle room for anything else except slash anything that's non-core to the business. Speaking at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Sunil Mittal had gone on to say in February, "Our position is very clear. Towers are steel and concrete. They are not the domain of mobile companies," suggesting that Airtel wants to get out of the towers business. However, after the March results, the telecom company has started singing another tune and said that it is merging Bharti Infratel and Indus Towers to create a 15 billion entity, the largest tower business outside of China. Airtel and Vodafone India will jointly control the combined company. The merger gives an outlet to Idea Cellular and private equity player Providence. Should they choose to exit the entity, Airtel's shareholding will be diluted from 53.5% in Bharti Infratel today to 37.2% in the combined company. Nitin Soni, who is a director of Asian corporates at Fitch Ratings, said in an interview that foreign investors are enormously interested in acquiring stakes in tower companies. This is because the tower business tends to be stable, with cash flows coming in from telecom operators. The tower business allows companies to build infrastructure for telephony and to earn revenue, given the fact that they share it with other operators as well. Shashidhar KJ, writing for The Ken, goes on to say, and I quote, "That is the only room. Airtel needs to keep spending more and more money to defend its market share from Reliance Jio and a combined Vodafone Idea, even as ARPUs keep falling. A multi-billion dollar hamster wheel," is what he went on to call it. Number 3. Content expansion. There are around 26 to 27 million monthly active customers on Airtel TV app, which is boosting data usage and stickiness. Airtel is now offering 60 gigabytes of data for free to postpaid users on downloading the Airtel TV app. The free data would be given over a period of 6 months where users will get 10 gigabytes data each month. Airtel customers can now avail the offer by going to My Airtel app, which would prompt them to download the Airtel TV app to get free data. Only on doing so, the customers will be able to receive the additional data. With the offer, Airtel seems to push its Airtel TV app, which offers live TV and OTT content from Eros Now, Hook, Sony Live, YouTube, and Daily Motion. Grabbing high ARPU customers, push for online data consumption, and a drive towards more postpaid customers have been some of Airtel's plans and targets for India. The app allows users to view content from Hotstar without paying for the subscription. As of now, Airtel does not want to get into developing their own content. Jio, on the other hand, is reportedly in talks with web content developers to make content specifically for Jio users and has a 24.9% stake in Balaji Telefilms. Jio has also only recently acquired a majority stake in Saavn for $124.1 million, which already has a user base of 33 million. At the end of the content wars, which company emerges winner is still too early to decide, but we've already dug deep into these aspects on two of our podcasts, which I urge that you listen to. One of them tries to get to the bottom of OTT media, and the other goes on to declare why content is king. Number 4. Wired Broadband Internet. On the 14th of April 2018, LiveMint reported that Reliance Jio is set to make fiber-to-home its next battleground, with the formal commercial launch likely towards the end of this year. Jio's main focus now is fiber-to-home. It has reached a sizable base of wireless subscribers at 168 million. All efforts now are to successfully deploy wired internet to homes. The full-fledged commercial launch is likely to be announced on the 28th of December, which happens to be late Dhirubhai Ambani's birthday. A person familiar with the development said, seeking anonymity. The low penetration of wired internet services is another factor that could boost Jio's efforts. According to TRAI, as of the 31st of December, India had only 21.28 million wired internet subscribers, compared with about 424 million wireless internet subscribers. In the wired internet segment, BSNL, that is Bharat Sanchar Nigam Limited, holds a 52.53% market share with 9.38 million subscribers. And that is followed by Bharti Airtel with about 10% share and Atria Convergence Technologies with about 6% share. Airtel, as of now, provides high-speed wired broadband up to 100 Mbps to about 2.1 million users across 89 cities in India. So it's not everywhere, only in some pockets. As of December end, Airtel's average revenue per user from its homes services segment was as much as 948 rupees. In early April again this year, Airtel further upped its game and introduced an all-new super-fast home broadband plan with speeds of up to 300 Mbps at a monthly rental of about 2,990 rupees with 1,200 GB. Of data. This plan also comes with free subscription to Airtel's OTT apps, that is Wink Music and Airtel TV. And how is Jio responding to this? Well, it has already initiated beta trials for its wired broadband services across a few locations in the country. It has offered free broadband across regions in New Delhi and Mumbai with unlimited internet at 100 Mbps for a security deposit of 4,500. When there is so much activity happening on the wireless side, why are people trying to get into the fiber business, which can be quite tricky? Mahesh Uppal, director at a consulting firm called Comfirst, has an explanation. He goes on to say, fiber is the better bet than wireless, which can provide only a fraction of the capacity of fiber. Fiber capacity can also be enhanced easily. However, fiber is a tough business. The fiber has to reach every single location physically. That is a nightmare given the challenges of installing underground fiber. Permissions for digging involve huge costs and delays. However, those who do succeed can expect huge rewards from the market, he went on to say. One of the crucial plus points, that is reward, about home broadbands is the relatively higher ARPU there and much stickier customer base. Like I said earlier, as of December last year, Airtel's ARPU from its home services was as high as 948 rupees. Airtel and Jio are going to likely duke it out in this wired battle as well. But it appears Airtel already has a leg up in this space by way of first mover advantage between the two. Number 5. Africa. We began with Africa and end with Africa. Airtel's new hope in the telecom wars. It would appear Airtel is realizing humankind's roots, almost, investing in Africa. Africa can no longer be considered the dark continent. Given the rate at which mobile connectivity is growing, it seems only natural that the way business is done will change. I'm reminded of Iman, that fabulous model who scotched the runway and paved the way for many dark-skinned models to enter what was and continues to be a Caucasian-dominated arena. When asked what she was thinking of when she was strutting down regally on the runway, she very calmly, succinctly, and well, regally, said, Africa. And it appears that's what the telecom industries are doing as well. Deloitte, in a report it published in 2014 titled The Future of Telecoms in Africa, The Blueprint for the Brave, emphasized the enormous growth potential for the sector in the continent. mergers and acquisitions activity in the technology and telecommunication sectors in Africa and the Middle East will more than quadruple in 2018 from 2017, according to Baker McKenzie's Global Transaction Forecast, developed in association with Oxford Economics. The report shows that M&A in the tech and telecom sector in Africa and the Middle East was valued at $1.2 billion in 2017 and is predicted to increase to as much as $5.9 billion in 2018 and a further $5.9 billion in 2019. The Africa move by Airtel that we began our discussion with, that is Airtel's plans to raise about $1.5 billion by listing the holding company of its Africa operations, that is Bain BV, on the LSE and diluting 25% of the likely $6 billion valuation that the holding company might receive, remember? That happened a long time ago. Airtel intends to use that money in its bid to stay competitive in the Indian market. Additionally, Africa has just become profitable for Airtel and looks like it will stay that way in the near future, like I said, according to analysts. Looks like Africa growth is sustainable. Overall financial climate has also improved. Commodities have bounced back and currencies have stabilized, a senior industry executive had said. Post-listing, Airtel could adopt the same strategy that it has for Bharti Infratel, progressively reducing the stake in the business and investing in the core India mobile business, which we believe has significant growth potential but will need high network investments in the short term, said analysts at BNP Paribas in a note to clients. So Africa is one of the great hopes for Airtel in the coming years.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Telecom Wars, Episode 1. A new hope for Airtel in Africa, a Money Control exclusive.
There we have it, the telecom wars, and we've barely scratched the surface. Today's focus on episode 1 was on Airtel and the challenges it is facing in the wake of Jio. In my view, Airtel's best scenario is if Jio can be stopped and if pricing can come back to normal, says Rohit Prasad, who is a professor at the Management Development Institute, or MDI, and an observer of the telecom industry. The second best scenario, according to him, is that the government bails out the telecom industry by making various kinds of concessions, and that second best scenario might just come to pass. There are speculations and then there are speculations. Who knows which one might come to pass? In the middle of all of this, though, emerges a glimmer of hope for Airtel in Africa. If back in 2010, you, as a shareholder, had criticized Airtel for venturing into Africa, perhaps now is as good a time as any to eat crow. How Airtel's future in India evolves is anyone's guess, but one thing is for certain. It is going to be a hard-fought war. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Telecom Wars right here on Money Control. With more such deep dives and more episodes of Telecom Wars, we promise to return. Until then, this is me, Rakesh, on behalf of everyone here at Money Control, saying thank you for joining us on Money Control, and stay logged on to moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.